Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and this beer is going to put us underground.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Notes from Underground.
Theoretically.
Your Dodor Dostoevsky, and Nate starting with a beer.
Okay, so the very first line of the book.
The only one I understood.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here. First line of the book is, I am a sick man. I am a spiteful man. I am an unattractive man. So do you think he would call himself a sour face? Blackberry Berliner Weiss?
Yes, he probably would.
Yeah, so this is a Blackberry Berliner Weiss by... Who makes this?
What?
Nate can't... This book sucked so much, Nate can't read anything anymore.
He
can't
lost read. The ability to read.
It could stop,
oh,
but yeah.
I think the brewery is called Sour Face, and this is just called Blackberry Berliner Weiss. No,
oh,
Mighty Squirrel Brewing. Mighty Squirrel Brewing. I found it.
Mighty Squirrel.
Yep.
It's anyway, the best kind
it's
of squirrel.
A...
That's what Dostoevsky called his penis. Can't prove he didn't.
So this is not as sour as I thought it was going to be. And I guess it tastes a little like blackberries. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. A little bit, which is about how much I understood this book after I looked up what it's supposed to be about.
So Notes from Underground, or as my translation called it, Notes from the Underground, or apparently sometimes called Letters from the Underworld. No one ever calls it that. If you said, I just read Letters from the Underworld, people would think you read a fucking romance fantasy book.
I fuck Satan. He won't call me back.
It was published in 1860. It was, you know, serialized over a couple of years, early 1860s. 1864 is the year they found it. And that's what I got out of it. I understood that right there. So
yeah,
this is not our first attempt to read anything by Dostoevsky.
And I did read somewhere that this is his
hardest. And it won't be our first failure to understand.
But either. In hindsight, we really fucking nailed Crime and Punishment compared to what we're about to do to this one. I understood the crime, at least.
It's really more like what it's done to us.
This is a punishment. This book, this is a punishment. And it's a crime to make anybody read it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The demon just tried to come out of me. That's how fucking upsetting this book is. Okay, so the book is set in 1864, the height of modernity. That's my favorite part of the book is basically it's like the modern world is terrible. And it's like the modern world with their three-story buildings and railroads a four-hour donkey ride away.
And serfs.
And... In the year they emancipated the serfs, it's like the year that happened.
And it's like, this sucks. What were we thinking? And the main character doesn't have a name.
Good.
And frankly, he shouldn't have a book either. But he doesn't have a name.
It's not even a book.
It's like a polemical allegory. I don't know. But this reads like... you know, if there was some sort of mass shooter, and like we found his manifesto,
and we don't know why he did this, still,
more questions than answers.
Okay, so the book is broken up into two parts. The first part is just a rant. We'll get to what the rant is about, maybe in a minute. But then the second part is the story of him about meeting friends he doesn't actually like for a dinner party. And then ranting at a prostitute. part is the more exciting part because something actually happens. Very first part, literally nothing happens. He just says, I am a man living underground, meaning kind of like in a basement. Like literally he's living under the floorboards and just like scribbling these lines. That's what it's supposed to be. And he's, okay. What's the point he's trying to make? I'm glad I looked it up. So here's what it is. Dostoevsky was very religious, believed in God, and hated the sort of the European Enlightenment idea called rationalism or utilitarianism. Which, so rationalism, utilitarianism are like, well, people are rational, people are the rational animal, and so all people do is, at least according to Immanuel Kant, and people like that, that people rationally look at their choices and rationally pick the thing that will benefit them most and you know, hurt them least and stuff like that. And that's all there is to life. That if you just do enough of that, that will balance it out, balance out the world and everyone, it'll create a utopia. That's kind of like, so that is the idea of like the Enlightenment and rationalism. And Dostoevsky is like, no, fuck that. And he's saying, but if I can't choose something that's wrong or that's stupid, am I really free? He's like, I want to choose something that's spiteful and stupid and painful just so that I'm free. And that's kind of what the underground man is saying. Like, I fucking hate everyone. Is that good for me? No, of course not. But that's what I want to do.
And this is after 40 years of being a civil servant, which just shows you how good bureaucracy was back then, that it drove him to near homeless insanity.
Or it shows how much he really hated himself.
Yeah. I feel like he could have made that. If that is the point, I'm going to take your word for it because I didn't fucking pick up on that.
I mean, there was no way for a person now to pick up on that because it's founded as a response to things happening in Russia in the 1860s. And unless you're like really down with that, you're not going to know that shit offhand.
Right. Yeah. I like how it's according to Wikipedia, so can't be wrong. It is attacking some other forms of Russian philosophy, especially, and you guys know this household name, Nikolai Chernyshevsky's work, What Is to Be Done? I had to read both of those articles to know anything. I mean, I just read the first paragraph.
Oh, what is to be done? Not understand this.
Not read this fucking book. What is to be done? Go to Spark Notes. That's what I had to do.
I watched a video by a guy who was the most boring narrator I've ever heard in my life, but he was definitely a nerd and understood this. Might have been a bit of a... There was some bad stuff in there too. I don't know. He made some allusions. It was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be watching this guy. But
this is why we should take Ukraine. Or
it was worse. He wasn't Russian, but he was. He's like, oh, everything is bad now. Much like all the people that are murdered these days in the name of progress. It was like, what does that mean? Anyway, he said it was like this was. In the 1860s in Russia, they were really down with this hip new thing called Russian nihilism, which is not the nihilism we know of. It's like...
It's colder.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even care. It's so cold. Fuck it. No, it was like,
I think it's a type of really dark black metal. We're a Russian nihilist metal.
That's Finnish. That's Finnish, definitely.
It's got balalaikas.
Bala love it, more likely.
What is Russian nihilism?
It was just like, be free and don't listen to your boss. But that was
maybe I'm a dope, but how is that really different than regular nihilism?
I guess that would,
nothing means anything, like, nothing matters.
I don't know if they don't think anything
in
matters.
Russian nihilism is your boss doesn't matter, but everything else, that's still cool.
It's just like regular nihilism, but in Cyrillic.
I would say like Russian in general is already pretty nihilistic. So this is like even more extreme, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Can you get more extreme than nothing matters? Nothing matters and kill it all?
Well, this is apparently like one of the first existentialist books. So I guess existence itself is meaningless is more extreme than nothing matters? Or that's the same thing? I don't know. I didn't take philosophy in college because I don't like it and I don't ever want to do it and I hate this.
So the first sentence of chapter 2 is, I want to tell you gentlemen, whether
this is
you
chapter
care
two
to
or
hear
part
it or not,
two.
chapter 2, why I could not even become an insect. That is literally the premise of Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. He becomes an insect in the first sentence.
That's, you know, there's a list of like books influenced by this. You could tell how far that person read into the book based on what part they stole. So like Invisible Man is influenced by this. And it's like, oh, I'm writing from this underground. That's the first page of Invisible Man. He's like, I got enough. And he stopped. And then Kafka was like, I'm going to go a little further. I got to the bug part.
Chapter 2. Literally the first line of chapter 2.
This is my favorite thing is on the Wikipedia page. They give, these are the summaries. These are supposed to elucidate something. Section one propounds a number of riddles.
Yeah, I felt like that was section one and two.
And then sections two, three, and four deal with suffering and the irrational pleasure of suffering. I feel like that's just a subsection of suffering. It's just really just suffering. It
depends
on
what
the
you're
whole book.
Into. I don't know. I felt like I was suffering the whole time.
You know, these. I don't know when these episodes will come out, but we read this the same week we read the Jordan Peterson book. And it felt the same.
It did. it really did.
It's like, what the fuck is he talking about?
So I did the audiobook for the Jordan Peterson book, and I was rather reading
it.
Oh, yeah, he read it. And as I was reading...
We're going to talk about that later.
Reading Notes from the Underground, I was hearing it read in Jordan Peterson's voice.
He fucking quotes like this
the same
in
thing.
That book.
Oh, he quotes all of Dostoevsky.
Yeah, it's atrocious. Like, you know, I liked Crime and Punishment. I'm sure I did not get all of it because it was, once again, allusions to thing I have no idea that was even going on. But this is just someone's fucking op-ed from 1860. Like, I'm not going to know the context of this shit going on.
Nate, did you get particularly offended by this passage where he said, I am 40 years old now, and you know 40 years is a whole lifetime? You know, it is extreme old age. to live longer than 40 years is bad manners.
You know, I do feel like that when I try and exercise. Definitely.
keyword try.
Yes.
So that was one of the things I highlighted. Another part that I highlighted, which I thought was true for the entire book, because he's constantly like saying something and then the next section, like, actually, I don't mean that. Go fuck yourself. You know, it's like there's a whole passage about like toothaches and shit. And, like, and he's like, fuck teeth. I'm like, okay. But he says this very, very self-aware sentence. Granted, I'm a babbler, a harmless, vexatious babbler. And this was vexatious babbling. I had no fucking idea what he was talking about much of the time. I felt like I was really wandering into the fog. I opened this a while ago, and we've had it before. This is Wandering into the Fog by a brewery named after this book, Abomination. It was a double IPA, and it's a nice one. I looked up. This place is kind of far away. Otherwise, I would try to finagle us to get in there. But it's really good. You know what's also really good? And better than this book, frankly.
Almost anything.
Almost, yeah. Fisting yourself.
That's
keep going.
Absolutely better.
That's you win on both ends.
In one end, at least.
But one end, yeah. But more importantly, supporting the podcasts that are important in your life, like this stupid one. If you want to support the podcast, you could do it in a variety of ways. You could give to us on Patreon, support us there, or you could go leave a review. In fact, you should do that right now. Have you left a review? Even on that other thing you listen to us on sometimes?
Do not base it on this episode.
No.
This one's not going to be great.
In fact, stop listening now and just write a nice review about an episode you did like and where you thought, this guy's nailed that one.
Do the 50 Shades one. Everyone loves that one.
Everyone likes that. Everyone likes 50 Shades and Twilight.
Yeah, 50 Shades, Twilight, and Notes from the Underground.
It's the same listeners, yeah.
And if you don't want to do that, just tell someone to check it out. And if you really thought we fucked this one up,
you're right.
And we're morons. You're probably right. Tell your enemies to listen to it. We'll let anybody listen. I don't care.
Yeah.
just.
It's about engagement.
It's all it is, man. We're trying to stop being an underground podcast. You know what I'm saying? This is pods from the underground. I don't even fucking know what's happening anymore. Yeah. Back to the shitty book, though.
Okay, so part
two. Patreon.com since Joke Guys Book. That's what I was supposed to say, and I kept forgetting.
That's right. That's important.
They'll figure it out.
Okay, so part two. What does it have to do with part one? I have no idea. But okay, so
it's in the same book.
He's like, oh, now we're in part two. And he's like, you know what? Enough rambling for now. Let me tell you a story about something that happened to me a while ago. And he tells a story about, well, first, like, just being annoyed with some guy in the street. But then he runs into one of his old school friends, and he hates his old school friends, but he's so lonely he wants to go, like, actually see people. So he runs into one of his school friends who are actually out to have a little dinner party or, like, some other thing with their other school friends. Like, hey, we're having this... There's that one party, and they're like, oh, we're going to go out to dinner at this place thing tomorrow.
They have great
at
borscht.
Five. And would you like to come? And in his head, he's like, no, I'd fucking hate that. But he's no, like,
he like,
yes,
fucking
I'd love to.
Himself.
And but he also like doesn't have the money, and so he has to like borrow the money, and he already owed one of the guys there some money, and the guy was like, you got that money for me? And he's like, I already have enough money for me.
Because they all hate him too.
Yeah, he hates them, they hate him, because he's way smarter than them, and they're assholes, so like, he just hates them, but he still wants to go to this party, but they're all way wealthier than he is, and you know, higher in the table of ranks, I'm sure. Mm.
One of the things that is crazy about reading any Russian books from this time is a character can be really poor. That they're like, I live in a hovel, and I eat old moldy beets. But then there'll be just a random one to go, but my servant came in and I had to smack her because she's a dumb country woman. I don't understand it. Like how, like what was happening in the social fabric of Russia that their near home, like the house insecure still had maids and valets and servants. Like what the fuck is.
And he paid the guy, the servant, his entire month's pay was what they were going to spend each on the dinner. I don't know if it's a lot of money or a little money.
I don't know what kind of inflation that is, but it's an economic conundrum.
It was 7 rubles. I'll look it up. In 1864.
8.7 trillion.
1 ruble
in 1864
was worth 12 grams of silver. A ruble would have been worth 58 cents.
So, yeah, but 58 cents in 1864 was probably okay. Something.
In American
now,
dollars?
Now
in
we're
going to
switch that again.
Yeah.
58 cents in 1864.
I bet it's like 50 bucks.
Yeah, it's like 50 cents in 1800 is $12.
Oh, really? Okay.
So
shit was cheap back then.
Yeah.
Because you see like advertisements from Sears Roebuck or whatever, or you watch a Western. And a guy's like, I need a hooker and a new horse, and he throws one coin at people. And they're like, yeah, I'll get your change to you later.
It was probably like $100, $150 maybe, in today's money.
Which, but what the fuck did these home, like these chud Russians, what did they do? Like, where did they live in this guy's closet or something?
I don't know if they were live-in servants.
Where could they live if this is the same amount of money for them to spend on like a mediocre dinner? Because they're not rich guys.
Any idea how any of this works? It might all be a fucking metaphor.
Right. A Russian reader in 1860 would be like, haha, Vladimir, that is hysterical. You cannot buy much with that rubles. And then they go, tell you what he has done. And that is what is to be done. And then you'd all just jerk each other off.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Because they didn't want to read the book. So they go to the dinner. Well, this is foreshadowing for why he gets mad at the hooker later. He comes early. he gets mad at the hooker. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? he comes early to the, he forgets it's daylight savings or something. And he comes an hour
early. They switch
early
the time
to
and don't tell him because they hate him.
Right. And he's like, what the fuck, guys? And then they get into a little pissy fight. And then they go find hookers, right?
So they're at the dinner. They drink a bunch of champagne for the princely sum of 7 rubles. And then and then finally they kind of get in a fight. And the like richest dude there, the one that started
8 rubles.
the richest guy there, he's literally they're going to have a duel. He's going to have a duel with the narrator. Guy, but then they don't. It's like, and he's like, you know what? I wouldn't actually hurt you. So he gets. So anyway, they leave because they're gonna go to a whorehouse.
Oh, but that guy's name was Jerkoff.
It was, yeah.
His name is basically Jerkoff.
Yeah, it kind of was, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, and so
Dostoevsky planned that.
He's a genius.
And the narrator is like so mad. He's like, but I don't have money for a whorehouse. So he borrows more money from Smirnov or whatever his name is. And then they go, but they're a little bit late. And so by the time they arrive at the whorehouse, the dude they were chasing and all the other guys, they've already gone off to the rooms with the hookers, so they're not there. And so instead, there's only one hooker left whose name is Lucy? Linda.
Liza.
Liza. Liza, there you go.
Translation.
Liza.
It's Liza Minnelli.
And
oh God.
He just sees her and she's like, yeah, she's not that good looking. And then there's like a page break. Then there's like a page break. And then it's like, and then I suddenly woke up. I don't know what he did in between those things, but you know.
Which things?
So no, he fucks the hooker, but he can't like say that in the book. So he's just kind of like, and then I woke up and then we started talking. And then he rants at her. You see that first part of the book, that rant? That was foreshadowing. Because he rants at the girl and just like, oh, you, this is going to be... And she's like, I just, you know, I've only been here a month. And he's like, but I'll be okay. I will get a raise. I don't know, something like that. And he's like, no. You know how terrible it's going to be? The other day, I saw them take a dead hooker out of the basement. And they like almost dropped her casket and it was terrible. And she died of tuberculosis and she was horrible. And that's what's going to happen to you.
This is basically that meme of like the guy whispering to the hot girl at like a baseball game or an elevator. There's like a bunch of versions of that where he's like whispering intensely into her ear and she could not care less. And so like, you know, the comment is usually something like, but they were all deceived, for another ring had been made. And she's like, don't you understand the bureaucracy? It's fucking bullshit, man. And I'm not appreciating. She's like, okay.
The original title of this book was Things I Yell at Prostitutes Who Don't Care What I Say. Didn't flow as well, though.
Yeah, they're like, maybe something a little, it sounds better in Russian, but.
No.
Maybe something a little snappier, Dostoevsky. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, especially when that tongue is numbed with vodka. So then he like convinces her that he's like this is not the life for you. Don't be a hooker.
And she cries, and he gives her his address. And then he leaves, and then he gets up the next morning, and he's like, "Why the fuck did I give her my address? I'm poor. I don't have anything.
I'm not actually better than her."
No. That was really stupid. And he's terrified that she'll show up. And then she does. And there's this whole thing about having to pay his servant the money that I just totally just skipped over. I was literally just like,
no, he tells,
next page,
he tells
don't care.
He gives the money he was supposed to give to his servant in an envelope. He's like, go give this to that other guy. I borrowed it from yesterday so I could have a dinner. It's your pay. You're not getting it. And the guy's like, okay. It's like, yell at me, you weak bitch. Go get the cops now. It's like, you want me to call the cops on yourself? Like, go do it. And you're like, I don't understand what's going on. By the way, there's a hooker here to see you. Bye. And she's like, I've got a letter that says that someone loved me once. And he's like, I don't care. And you know what? I didn't either. This is among, I want to say this is like top 10 books I got nothing from.
I think that's top 3. Like, what was,
I'm just assuming I've forgotten most of them.
I mean, Ulysses, I got
more from Ulysses than this.
I did get more.
At least I knew what things were happening. I understood that things were happening. I didn't always understand what they were, but I knew that things were happening.
There was a bar of soap at that. I got that part. Guy took a shit.
There were a lot of butt stuff.
A lot of farts. Yeah, so hold on. What happens next then? No, he has a tantrum. And he yells
at prostitutes.
So he has a tantrum. So he yells at her some more. And then they also cry. And then he tries to give her money. I don't remember. I couldn't quite tell if they fucked again, but I'm not sure.
From what I read in my efforts to understand this, it's implied that it's for sex.
And then, she's going to leave, and he's like tries to put money in her hand. And she's like, no, and puts it back on the table.
he does the subtle handshake bribe where he slip a bill to somebody. Real smooth, Fyodor. She throws it at him, and it's like 5 rubles. And he's like, you could almost buy a whole goddamn dinner with this.
You could buy a house with that.
If you're a poor person, you could buy
a servant for a month with that.
The money makes no sense. It's like Dogecoin. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't understand it.
Okay, so basically it's the end. That's, he's like, yeah, she gave me the money back, and I never saw her again. The end. End of rant.
But he says, I have merely carried to an extreme in my life, which you have not dared to carry even halfway. So he ends up going, but I'm fucking extreme, bro. You bunch of pussies. And you're just like, well, sorry, sir, what? This is a Starbucks. And that's how the book really ended.
Well, how the book really ends is it says, then there's some more other writing shit here, but we can just kind of stop. We're good.
Yeah, Dostoevsky's like it's like the found editor. He's like, you got the gist, right? Like,
this part's pretty wacky, but it just gets worse from here out. So we're just gonna call it. Go home.
Imagine the editor's like, this is the perfect place to stop. Maybe move it up a little. I don't know. What do you think? You want to maybe cut a little bit more? He's like, I have said exactly what I need to say.
This is like that fucking Durinmott thing we just read where the guy is like tacked on a thing at the end, like, we found this stuff, and the guy who wrote this isn't very good at it.
Yeah. And that guy is me. Oh, okay.
So how much time do you think we wasted by reading this?
I could tell you exactly how much time I wasted reading this. About 3.5 hours reading about this.
Yeah.
And then looking at the summary I just read, and then back at the book and going, no, can't read that.
Are you sure?
I don't believe you.
I don't know anything, but I also know it's not that.
This is not a book for regular people, or even like most not regular
people. Not
even
for Russians. This isn't a book for anybody. This book sucks. And I know that big literary, it's an important book apparently.
It's an existentialist thing, but yeah, that's not really my scene.
I'm an existentialist. I want to get out of this. I don't want any more of it. But Nate, what'd you think?
There's one thing that I could sort of appreciate. Mostly, I had no idea what it was about, but there is something in the tone that he writes in. Not the first part where he's just ranting, where I really had no idea what that was about, but when he's describing the dinner, like he's at the dinner scene, and this kind of the way he's making fun of all the people there, and it's like, oh, I can see how he's a good writer. Like, I can see how, if I cared at all about these characters and I had a clue about what he was really trying to say, I would go, oh, maybe he's a good writer. But yet, I didn't know what he's talking about or really care or see how the second part really connected to the first part, because I had to have understood even one of those parts in order to make that happen. So, yeah, I don't really know.
The only thing I've cobbled together to understand anything is that he's ranting against modern society, which is, you know, comically not modern anymore. He's like, what's next? Horses? You know, the main character, you know, the unnamed narrator guy, he's some shitty performing bureaucrat. And the other character that matters is a hooker. So, you know, he's a nobody and she's a pariah. And, you know, he's trying, as a bureaucrat, presumably, he's trying to work his way up the system. And she's hoping for something similar.
Yeah, I guess at this point he still was. Because the first part is like, I was, and then I retired to live in this cellar. But this happened a while ago.
Yeah, it's like the second half is I thought I kind of got the sense it was a flashback.
Yeah,
right?
Like, this is a thing I did. Let me tell you about the time I banged a hooker.
That was a highlight for me. It's kind of like talking to like your old, you know, veteran grandpa. Let me tell you a story, son. But the hooker thinks like, hey, today I'm doing anal in a basement, but if I keep at it, I'll move my way up to being a high class courtesan to some, you know, lesser noble person, you know. And he's like, yeah, but the system sucks. The system doesn't work in a fair way. The system doesn't work in a predictable way. The system is broken. And I think, you know, modern world, everybody kind of understands or accepts that. And that's probably why this book is seen as important, right? Because, you know, man creates these systems, and then the systems function stupidly or dysfunctionally, you know? Like, oh, this is a logical meritocratic thing we've created, and it never works that way. So that's the only thought I had from the book besides, like, oh, I hate this. Please kill me. But it's kind of almost maybe somewhat right. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely all in there. I don't know. It relies on you knowing what's going on when he wrote this, and no one does. So without context, this thing is almost meaningless.
Yeah. It's like someone just hands you the box score of a baseball game, and they're like, do you know what this game was like? And you're like, well, I kind of have to know a little bit more information than this. And like, oh, it was also played in 1884. And you're like, I think they changed some rules since then. And like, things are a little different. Like, don't they? Like, you can't throw the ball at a guy anymore. Like, you can hit him in the head with it still. You just got to figure it out from here, or get a fucking advanced degree to understand this book. So knowing that some people, like JBP, recommend this book, I bet this is, it's kind of, to me, it feels like Ulysses or Moby Dick or any of the big hard books that, you know, you're in the know, if you've read it and are in the know, then you almost have that Stockholm syndrome where you're like, it's great. And then you're going to believe that. But everyone who doesn't get it, it's like, this is impenetrable gibberish. And then the people on the other side could judge you harshly for it. Like, it's a very specialist thing to understand from what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. If I put in the time and the hours to learn about 1860s Russian philosophy and history and just philosophy in general, then I would get something out of this. But I don't want to do that.
Can you imagine how many, oh, great, what's that kind of moments you would have in that process? You're like, oh, Russian nihilism, okay. And what's that now? Like, it's like a fucking rabbit hole.
I would need to spend weeks to even get a baseline, like, I understand kind of what they're talking about and still not know what it really meant, but just, like, be able to, like, understand what they were talking about. And, you know, is it worth that for this 100-page book?
It's the fucking longest 100 pages ever written, man. You know how, like, on the e-reader, the Kindle, whatever, it's like 2 hours and 41 minutes left. And then you flip the page, it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes left. Every fucking time I turned a page in this book, that timer went up. Like, it started, it was like 1 hour and 8 minutes. Like, oh, good, I'll breeze through this shit. And then I was 50% through the book, and it was like 2 hours, 49 minutes to go. How is this happening?
Is that existentialism? Because I don't know.
Is that Russian nihilism? I have no idea what it was, but it was like a
No
nightmare.
Exit by Sartre. He will just never end the book.
It is brutal. So I don't think anyone should read it, unless you're reading it in a classroom setting where it's going to be like 3 weeks of a professor spoon-feeding it to you, and then I don't know if you needed to have read it. They're just going to give you the answers.
If you're taking a class on Russia in the 1860s, go for it. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe no.
And maybe it's one of those books you're supposed to read a lot. You're supposed to reread it and think about it and, you know, come back to. And that's why some people really like it. I just don't think we're those kind of readers. And most people aren't.
I don't think I'd get anything out of it the second time either.
Well, maybe if you get to the end and you understand that he's a crazy guy who yells at hookers, when you go back and start it over and he's like, I'm a sick, deranged man, and he starts talking about these things, he's like, well, pleasure is bad and pleasure is the worst thing, but, you know, pain is, we should avoid pain, but you kind of need pain because otherwise pleasure doesn't feel good. Then you could start to, like, cobble something
pain
together.
Pain makes you free.
I forget what Nate said, the quote of War and Peace, where some guy's like, after the ninth time I read War and Peace, it really clicked, or something like that. I forget which other Russian writer had said that, but Nate told us about that at some point. So maybe it's one of those things. You really have to Which, man, what a dick move to write a book like that. Nate, any thoughts?
Nope. Don't read it. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah.
I really actually had to read this in a hurry. And I was like, oh, it's so short. This will be easy. And then it's like, what? Oh,
it wouldn't have helped to take it slower.
That was our bad. I made the same mistake. We just looked at page length. But it's just to show you, size doesn't matter. It does matter. Wait. God damn it. I still lose.
Pages are still thin.
Yeah. It's not that they're short. They're just thin. Nate, should people tell us what they thought?
Yes, they should. They should send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
And if you're going to say that we didn't understand the book, we already know that. But you could tell us something else on Twitter @drunkguysbc.
Or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram @drunkguysbookclub, where they also didn't get it.
And you could follow us on Goodreads. No, that's Jimmy says Goodreads, but I'm saying Goodreads.
Oh, no.
And Jimmy could say the other part. Ha ha! I'm a nihilist. Doesn't matter.
And leave us a review. 5 stars for every time we didn't get it.
That's 4,000 stars, Jimmy. I don't know if you could do that.
Give us your stars. I'm hungry for stars.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.